This morning we begin a brief series from the Catechism, Luther's Small Catechism, looking at the articles of the Apostles' Creed and also the explanations provided by Dr. Luther. I invite you now to rise and join with me in speaking those words in unison on page 32. We begin with the first article. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life, that he protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil, and all this purely out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I am in duty bound to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. In my early childhood, there were two very important spiritual books in my life. And one of the first books that I received was a little green cloth-covered catechism, my own personal catechism. You can tell it says Donnie in it, and from Thornton, Iowa. And I cherished that book, but I found it to be a little bit boring, to be honest with you, because there weren't any pictures in it. Another book that was very important in my early spiritual childhood was that of a Bible story book. And I probably preferred this one because it had stories, narratives, and characters and plots and so on. And it always had such nice pictures with it as well. And my mom would sit and read these to me. I thought of the catechism a little bit more like work because my dad would expect me to recite things at the dinner table. And I had a hard time memorizing. I still do. But I always loved the other book a little bit more in the sense that I got to hear a story and see some pictures, and that was always a little more fun way, if you will, for me as a little child of learning the ways of God and his people. In that wonderful Bible story book, there was the great story, of course, of Moses and the children of Israel and how God used Moses to lead them out, and especially that crossing of the Red Sea. I remember this picture as a little child. Every time I think of the story of the crossing of the Red Sea, this always comes to mind. And what it must have been like to walk through those waters and then to have them crush the Egyptian army with their chariots and horses, and how the artist tried to depict that. And then you'd turn the page and you'd have the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And you hear about how the people are grumbling against God. And then the next page is the story of the golden calf. And you'd hear about how they went and created an idol to worship instead of the true God. And I used to think as a child, how could somebody go from having the true God protect them so wonderfully and miraculously through the Red Sea and then just immediately go to complaining and then creating a false God? How could they switch so fast? But the older I grew in life, the more I started to understand that the same thing happens to me as well. It's very easy for us to forget about God and what he does for us on a daily basis. I'm very tempted to think in terms of being self-reliant and self-sufficient. And you can see that in the fact that I don't give God thanks nearly as much as I should. I don't utilize the gift of prayer as much as I should. I find myself worrying about earthly things more than I should. I find myself sometimes complaining that I don't have as much as other people. And I can often feel myself slipping into a sense of entitlement about things in this life. So ultimately, I've come to learn that the children of Israel have nothing on me. How quickly I also can forget God's care and his providence in my life. We just sang the words of Psalm 100 that says so beautifully, "It is he who has made us." There's an emphasis in the Hebrew. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The older I got in life, I began to appreciate that little green catechism more and more. It's kind of a catalog of the primary teachings of Christianity, and what a wonderful little treasure that is. And that first article that we just read reminds us of all the daily blessings that God showers down upon us, even though it's easy for us to forget about them being from his hand. But I love how Luther concludes that explanation to the first article by saying this: all of this, all that we have, is purely out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. All of these blessings, even the earthly gifts that I have, are purely out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy. One thing as I got to seminary that I started to really appreciate about Martin Luther, and you can see it right there in that first explanation of the first article, is how he would have you look at everything in the Bible and everything in your life as a Christian through the cross, through the gospel. All of this that we have from God, he doesn't emphasize the power and majesty of God, but the mercy of God, which is always to be found primarily in our Savior and what he's done for us. Luther rightly directs us as God's children in this world to view all of the earthly blessings and gifts that we have through the cross from the perspective of our eternal salvation. Imagine a little 3-year-old boy who needs an organ transplant, and his father undergoes an extremely dangerous surgery, nearly losing his life, so that an organ can be taken and planted inside of his son to save his son's life. And as that little boy grows up, he sees the scar on his father's side at times, and he hears about it, and he kind of appreciates what his father has done. But as he gets older, as he gets much older in life and goes through college, he enters medical school and gets into the fine details of what it took and the great danger that there was for his dad to undergo the surgery. And all of a sudden, he begins viewing that with a whole new set of eyes. Don't miss knowing how extremely important you are to the Almighty God. Don't miss viewing and understanding everything you have in life and all the blessings you enjoy today through the great sacrifice that he has given you in his Son. You see, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world not just to save your soul for eternity, but also your body, your physical being, your physical body. From God's perspective, everything that he does for you, your food, your clothing, your house, your home, your family, your property, your friends, everything has to do ultimately with having you stay on the path of eternal life in heaven so that you finally reach that glorious home prepared for you. And because of this, as Luther says, I am now in duty bound to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Let us rise. Today we've been asked to keep in our prayers one of our seminary students, Boyd Longshore, who is recovering from surgery. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your dear servant, Boyd, and we pray that you would be with him now in this time of recovery. We are so grateful for the wonderful blessings that we enjoy in this modern age of science and medicine. And we ask now that if it is your good and gracious will that you would continue to put these gifts and blessings to his benefit, that he may be restored once again to full health and return to his studies. We pray that you would teach all of us to number our earthly days in this life, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, seeking the true wisdom that is to be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who has come to rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen.